see if you guys are a good fit for each other. You know, see if you kind of talk the same language, if you have the same, because I believe, like, you know, people have ingrained beliefs, and if the person that you're working with doesn't have a similar kind of, you know, thought structure as far as, you know, the mixture of reality, then it may not be a good fit. So I think just having a conversation, looking at whatever material they already have out there, and it divides with you, and if you say, here's a short answer, Kente. Would you want that person to be your friend? You know, as much as you know about them, would you want to be friends with them? You know, and if you could say yes to that, I think that's a good metric to go by. Because that's actually what a coach is, just more on a more focused level, you know, focused on you and your success. But you're still going to have a relationship with them.
Okay, so anybody can take this. What are some red flags to look for in looking for a life coach? So say like Shannon, he's like, I want a life coach, and I'm looking at this particular person. What she should be on the lookout for to, you know, to steer her away from a potential person?
There's a lot of, you know, when the person is seeking a mentor as well, you know, I always have people, like, I look to Lee, my life coach, I look to Christian, they're all there to help me, you know, because you're running together. But I think that when a person seeks out a life coach within their comfort zone, where meaning that they want a yes person. A lot of them want to be enabled.
That's not it.
You may not tell them exactly what they want to hear. You're able to help them grow. And by enabling them, just saying, or being a yes person, you know, that's not what you want, you know. And a lot of people who seek out life coaches, they seek out life coaches that are, like, cool, or that would, you know, say, you're okay, don't worry, you're just the way you are, stay the way you are, whatever the case may be. But that's not a person that you would want. You want somebody to help you grow and move forward and push that needle toward the best version of yourself. You can't have somebody who's going to be staying within your comfort zone, if you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's very well said. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me ask this to everybody, because this is something really interesting. And we'll start with Mira first. What led you to be a What led you to wanting to be a life coach initially?
To be honest with you, was working on myself, because I was jacked up. Let me just tell you the real. I was jacked up. And in order to be a life coach, I knew I had to get my stuff fixed. I had to make amends toward my ex, who I hadn't talked to in like 10 years. I did not want to see his face. Put it this way, he was one of them type of people where I didn't wish death upon him. I just wish he would blow away to somewhere we would never be able to find him. So, you know what I mean? So I felt like that about him. But I knew that I had to work on that relationship. I knew I had to call him. I had to call him on Facebook, because I didn't want to put our children in the middle of it, because they're grown. Okay? So I knew I had to call him. I knew I had to fix my relationship. I had to fix my depression, because I had just had 2 miscarriages, and I was depressed for a whole year. I sat around in my room with my door closed, not really wanting to go out and talk to people. I stopped going out and talking to people. I stopped socializing. I stopped doing a lot of things that I was doing, and I was just really focused on other things and trying to fix everybody else's mess. Okay? I was putting out everybody's fires around the country. If there's something going on with Mike Brown or whatever movement that was going on, I said, let me run out here with this protest sign, and I'm going to fix and save the world. But hell, I wasn't saving myself, okay? Mm. So I knew I had to work on myself. I had to cleanse myself, because I was a deep individual. I hurt people because hurt people hurt people, right? I hurt people and people hurt me. So I was like, I'm going to get back revenge. Revenge is mine, you know? And I went through all those different changes. I went crazy, lost my mind, and I said, you know what? This is not healthy. This is not healthy, but I can give real good advice. But I said I had to work on me. So I started taking this course. I went to this school, University of Sir Dome, and I started working on a holistic
story, you know. I think a lot of times life coaches that I come across, they, if you listen to them, you would think that they never knew anyone until. So,
faces off.
Yes, they, yes. Real quick, I just want to let people know that if you are in on our YouTube page, make sure that you write in the right section, in the top section, in the section to say something, so we'll acknowledge you. I see there's a lot of people on that are writing in. All right, so somebody started to say something. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I was going to say I resonate with Amira a lot. I think she's awesome. I love the stories, you know. But it's true, you know. I think, at least in my experience, I come from, you know, just a tradition of service, you know, being raised in the church and whatnot, even though I'm not a religious person now. But it's a similar situation where, you know, it looks, even in church, like people, everyone puts on a face like everything's all good all the time and there's nothing really wrong at home. We're the perfect happy family, you know. But I believe people who really get into this have been through some serious stuff personally, you know what I'm saying? Like they, because when you go through trial, you know, or what they call the dark night of the soul, it opens your heart. You know, it's just, I think that's actually the purpose of it, is to recognize that you're not alone, you know what I'm saying, and it's okay for you to hurt, and it's okay for you to heal as well, and there's, like, barriers inside of you that need to be broken, and once those barriers are broken, you cannot help but have compassion on people who you see are going through similar struggles, and you're just, like, called, or for lack of a better word, to help people, you know, because you know what they're going through. You know, like I said earlier, you can connect with the person, you know, and actually say, yeah, you know, I feel you, like, for real, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, my websites look nice, and I got nice pretty pictures and everything, but yeah, I've been locked in my room. I've been where, when you go outside, it's like a big deal, you know. I went outside today, you know, I haven't been outside in a week, it was hard for me to get out of my room. Like, those kind of experiences make you recognize, you know, the vulnerability in all of us, you know, and the need in all of us to actually connect to each other, because that's what life is. Life is a growth and connection. If you look at the natural world, it's abundant with collaborative experience. You know, the plants, the trees, everything, the air we breathe right now, we're all breathing it. You know, the sunlight is shining on all of us. You know, so it's something that I really feel strongly about. You know, that's why I love listening to her story about, yeah, I think we've all can resonate with the fact that we're all human and we've been through things, and that that has allowed us to have the desire, you know, and the motivation to help others.
Same question to Ava Laura. What made you?
Yeah, I mean, I talked about that a little bit, you know, earlier, but just to sort of expound on that, like I said, my background was already in mental health and counseling and social work, so my goal, I actually, that was part of, you know, what I always wanted was to be a counselor and help people. I mean, that was something that I realized that I had done since I was young, and for some reason, people actually listened to me and took advice from this bossy little kid. So I figured, if people gonna take advice from a bossy little kid, what they gonna do with an educated black woman now? So that was always my goal, to help people, and, you know, somehow I was able to tap into what people were going through and give good advice. And so, again, that's what I wanted to do, but when I found myself sort of in this traditional system, I felt like I was boxed in. I felt like I just could not help people the way that they really needed to be helped. There were too many limitations placed on me. And so my own personal story, I got really depressed. I got depressed. I got angry. I felt like, what is the point of this? I'm not really doing anything. I'm not making an impact. I'm not living in purpose. I'm just existing. I'm just here working this job, seeing people, but I'm not doing anything. And it just got to the point where I literally just got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I found myself just on this roller coaster. I'm a naturally happy person. Anybody who knows me, I laugh all the time. I'm always happy. I was not happy. I was not laughing. I was, you know, lashing out at people. It was just not pretty. So I had to look at myself and say, Ava Laura, okay, what's going on? And one of my friends just said, you know what, Ava Laura, you need to go on this woman's retreat. I didn't know nothing about a woman's retreat. I didn't care. I was just like, whatever, I'm going. At this point, whatever I can get, I'm going to do. And so I went. And going on that retreat forced me to see just how out of balance and out of harmony I was with myself. I got back to doing what I call soulful self-care, so back to meditating and doing yoga and praying and just being out in nature and spending time with like-minded people. And what I realized is that I don't know where I had been
break down. I just did. I broke down. I started crying. I was on my hands and knees praying to God, like, you got to get me out of here. This is not life. I'm not living. I can't do this anymore. I'm like the walking dead. And this is, if this is what life is about, just, I'm over. What am I here for? And so I broke down, boo-hoo, crying, just let it all out, did the ugly cry. And, you know, I felt good. You know, you feel good after you cry, you let it all out. But that was until I realized I had to go back to work on Monday morning. Go back to that same reality. Go back to the rat race, as they call it, right? Because nothing at that point had really changed. I realized that I was out of harmony, but at that point, nothing had really changed. And so when I got back to work, you know, my boss calls me into his office and he says, "Hey, Laura, it's been great having you. You're wonderful, but I got to let you go." And I was like, "Wait, what? Hold on now. What'd you just say?" So ego was having a little fit because, you know, I'm total type A personality, go-getter. I do everything, you know, 210%, graduated magna cum laude. Like, I was like, is he firing me? Like, he's firing me. I don't get fired. And so, yeah, ego had a little fit. And spirit kind of caught up and said, "Hey, Laura, why are you upset? Why are you complaining? This is what you prayed for. So what are you going to do?" And that was my call. What am I going to do? Am I going to go back into the system and be miserable and feel like I'm not doing anything, I'm not making an impact? Or am I going to venture into the path of the unknown and, you know, take that faith walk and do the work that I know that I've been called to do? So like everybody's saying, I think what's so important, you talked about the red flags. Well, this is one. What's so important, what I did and what I'm hearing that other people have done too, is that I literally took what I call my six-month healing sabbatical. I took 6 months. Now, it wasn't just 6 months, but I dedicated 6 whole months to working on me. Who am I? Why am I here? Getting the coaching, getting the life coaching, studying Reiki, studying meditation, studying yoga, all the things that I do now, studying hypnotherapy, aromatherapy, all the things that I do now, I studied in that period, really delved into myself 6 whole months. And at the end of that 6 months, that's when I opened up Ava Laura's Healing Center in November of 2005. So for me, it was all a part of my journey, and it was a part of my ability to help people in the way that I knew that they really needed help, in a very holistic way, truly addressing their spirits, truly addressing who they are as a soul, truly addressing their mind, their body, all of that stuff that we talk about in a very holistic way. And so it allows me to have freedom to help people any way that they truly need it. So that's why I became a life coach. Although I can't say I became a life coach, I always was a life coach. I just awakened that.
Before we get to Leah and SJ, we actually have someone on the line that has a question. Caller, are you there? Uh-oh, hold on a second. My bad.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can everybody hear the caller?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So, caller, where are you calling from?
I am Letitia Collins, and I'm calling from Arkansas.
All right. Okay. So, you have a question?
Okay, so I don't really know how to put this, but my boyfriend Ronnie, it just seems like he watches porn all day, every day. Like, it's just to the point where it's just, he don't do nothing else except just masturbate all day for, like, hours.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like we don't even have a sex life anymore. Like, every time I walk in the door, it's been, like, big booty black porn or Asian lesbian porn. Like, I'm almost done with it.
All right. All right. So, anybody have any help for our caller?
I'd be interested to hear what the men have to say.
I'll mute myself. Okay, I wanted to jump in here. I was like, this is interesting. So the first thought was, what do you want? You know, like, I understand you're looking at your boyfriend and saying he's, you know, he's doing this and it's affecting me this way. But what do you want? Like, do you want him? In other words, what would be a good relationship with him?
What did you say? I was open greed, and it's just like I get off of work and I come home. And that's the first thing I don't see anymore.
Does he see it as a problem? I'm sorry to cut you off, but I just want to make one quick break before you real quick and then let other people talk. But does he see it as a problem?
Oh, did we lose you? Hello, are you there? Hello? I think we might
have lost you. Hello, I can hear you. I can't hear anybody else. Like, everybody else's mic is messed up.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
I want to know, does he see it as a problem? Does he see it as a problem? Your fiancé.
Okay, well, what'd you say?
Does he see it as a problem, your fiancé?
No.
No.
He don't see it as a problem at all.
Not at all.
Okay, so this is what I would say to that. You know, because what you're asking for is for someone else to change. You know, so if there's a certain kind of way relationship that you want to have, and the person is not in agreement with that, you need him or her to be in agreement with that. You know, so in other words, I'm pretty sure he loves you if you guys have been together for so long and you're engaged to get married. So you need to, you know, have a heart-to-heart communication with him and say, this is a problem for me and the kind of relationship I want to have. You know, it needs to be clear, you know, because you are looking to be partners in life. You know, so if we're going to experience life together, it is a problem for me. And then you can move from there. I mean, there's a lot of solutions for porn and reasons for it. But ultimately, I mean, one of the big things, it is a physical compulsion. You know, it's a sexual drive, you know, and it's just a little bit mixed up, or a lot of it mixed up with him right now. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think he would be open to hearing any solution unless he sees it as a problem. He's motivated to change.
He knows that I don't think it's a problem.
Right, so he needs to feel the pain that would result if, you know what I'm saying, like, if this continues to go on, I don't see us, you know what I'm saying, like, that kind of conversation, you know, and so he can say, okay, I understand that this bothers you, and because it bothers you, I'm willing to look at it.
Okay. Leah had something to say about that?
I wanted to see, do you have any enjoyment of watching porn at any time?
I mean, it would be fine if it was just like once a day or twice a day, but it's literally like all day, like hours go by.
Okay, so my suggestion to you is to talk to him when you do not have any animosity towards this area, that you can say this openly and happily, and maybe even lead into example of being able to watch it at that moment. So when you don't have the animosity to it, you can address it with him and let him know boundaries that he can act within. Because you say you're coming home from work, you can just express to him in a moment that, oh, I've been at work all day, that's just not the first thing I want to see. Now, I love you, and I would love to get excited and like let something stimulate me that stimulates you. But if you can know when I'm getting home from work, there's little tweaks that couples can do instead of trying to force someone to change. It's just work within each other's comfort zones. And instead of turning what you can see that you have joy in at some times, instead of turning it into something bad to where he needs to change, you could just kind of intentionally put it into each other's lives in comfort zone where you both can deal with it and maybe even be excited by it on his terms, but when you're ready for it, not when you're just walking in the door. So the more information that he knows about the situation, that he can be him, he can probably tweak it a little bit and work within your comfort zone so that you could still have the reality that you want walking into your home and seeing your man when you enter the door, and he can still get some benefits of sharing something with you that he seems to find great stimulation in. And I wouldn't be offended by the porn, especially if you've been excited by it. You can see a guy could be excited by it. So we have to take the personal like hit to us out of it and just make it work. You know, and just put it where, place it where it belongs in our life.
Right. But I mean, I wake up, he's doing it. I come back from work, he's doing it. There's never really a point where he's not doing it.
Let him know when you leave for work. Please go to town. Let him know just about the time you get home. You know, go to town before that. But have this time set for me. Be ready for me to be in your presence and in your energy. And know that you affect me. And I don't want to change you. You can do what you do because I'm at work. There's times when you can do this and we can both get what we want out of this situation. and it's all good.
Right. I think at the end of the day, it's really about being transparent and having that communication. I mean, if you are going to marry him and you are engaged to marry him, then there's some sort of communication or some sort of history that you have with this man. So, you know, as long as you're able to be transparent with him and say, you know what, it's not the point itself that's the problem. It's the time of the length of time that he does it. So you just need to be very transparent with him and tell him what it is that you feel. Now, if he decides that he doesn't really care about how you feel, then you need to definitely think about, you know, is this somebody that I want to spend the rest of my life with? Because being engaged is a lifelong commitment. So if that's the case, then you need to be very transparent with him and tell you exactly, tell him how you feel. Because how I'm hearing is that since you see him waking up doing it, you guys haven't had this conversation. You haven't had a discussion on it. You haven't sat down and talked about it. So definitely talk about it.
So can I jump in? Ayla, I see you look like you're ready to speak, and I want to ask you this. Because this looks to me, I mean, I think we're all on the same vibe as far as you need to communicate. But to me, this is manifesting as an addiction.
Even have the conversation first to see if it's addiction, that he can tweak things. I mean, he's a man. Men do what they do to enjoy themselves and get through their day. So, I mean, let's not put a label on somebody and act in that first before communicating. I think the conversation should be had first to see where you guys are going, and then that decision made. I think a lot of decisions are made without the other person, and you need to be prepared for that situation, but I think allow the other person to come into that. I think men have a little, if he has too much time on his hand, there's things he's going to do that could seem addictive, but to be...
I hear you, Leah. I know you were
first conversation first, that's all I'm saying.
But what I'm saying, let me tell you something. I've had a lot of clients like this. One example. I'm just going to tell you this real quick so I'm going to make it so fast. I had one client who she got with a guy. He was into the same stuff in the same type of way. Every time he came home, every time she come home, he'd be doing it. To the point where he would not make love to her as often as he could have because he was so busy watching porn, masturbating. Even at times it got him to be so unhealthy where he started picking up prostitutes. Okay, and so I'm not saying that this is the case, this is the same case. I would not say that because everybody is different, okay? But I'm saying it has to be a discussion, it has to be something that has to be addressed, and it has to be, because it comes off as if it's an addiction. It definitely comes off that, and you have to think about what your goals are, because sometimes your goals are not the same goals as someone else, and then you're talking about getting married. See, that's kind of stuff is going to be thought out. Well, you can't even consider marriage until you all work out whatever it is that's bothering you. And if it's something that's bothering him, or if it's something special he may need. Because he may need something special. He may need you to do something that's going to bedazzle him. Or he may need to talk to someone to figure out what's within him that he has to do something so much. That's just like if I like coffee so much. If I like coffee so much, if I like cars so much, to the point where I'm always doing it. Doing something too much is never good. Even eating healthy, you know what I mean? Sometimes we have to mix things up. And so that has to be addressed because you cannot force someone to change. married and that's not what you want. So you got to get that established. Y'all got to figure out what it is. You have to discuss it because you can't just hold on. You can't get to the point where you're so desperate and holding on and not bringing it up and not talking to him because you're worried about not getting married. You got to discuss and put all that out on the table before you even get into that situation because you're going to be miserable. Because you're gonna feel, because you're gonna bring down your self esteem after a certain time. You're gonna be like, dang, you don't even want me so much. He's so bitch looking at other people not being attracted to me. And he's not balanced with it right now. You know what I mean? You gotta really address that because you can't be so desperate in your energy and just accept anything that you don't like. If you don't like it, you got to talk about it. You can't just be like, okay, well, that's just something I don't like it. But I guess I can work on it. No, hell no, you can't. No, you gotta address this shit now. You can't just throw your life away because you're a beautiful girl now. And by the time you waste all them years, you'll be a hag waiting on him to change and stop jacking off. That's the thing. You gotta be realistic with yourself, and you gotta be, and he gotta be realistic, and y'all gotta come together, and you gotta make some decisions.
Caller, I want to know, does your man work? Does he have a job? Because it seems like he has a lot of time to be getting out of the dorm. Caller? Uh-oh, did we lose your caller? Okay, I think we might have lost the caller.
I'm sorry, I might have been too much. I told you
I ain't trying to be no hag.
With me looks like it's a celebration. It's like, you got this, you're doing awesome, I am so happy for what you're doing and how you're progressing, and you no longer need me. You have everything that you need inside of you, and you can call me at any time, or you can continue paying me and knowing that you have it on your own. So I'm very blunt and upfront and let them know that, like, they have this on their own and they no longer need me, and that they should stop paying me, but I am here for them regardless if they pay me or not. So it's a very happy moment. It's a very, like, you got this, take it and go, and I'm here for you, just like SJ said.
Now, what I'm let me ask this question. We kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but at times, even as a life coach, do you ever feel like that you need to possibly have a life coach, or do you guys even have someone that you can talk to?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
I'm on a journey. I'm a human being. I have to evolve. I evolve every day. You know, my purpose changes. I mean, it could be 5 years from now. I may be doing something different. I may be in Africa somewhere, feeding gorillas. Who knows what I'm going to do, whatever my purpose is at that time. So I'm always evolving. So I do want people in my circle that sees more potential in me than I see in myself. So I'm always in contact with Leah, the life coach. I'm always in contact with people that I know that can help me in any way, shape, or form. Because this is a journey. I don't know everything. I'm a human being, and I have faults, and I slip up, and I mess up, and I, you know, things happen. So, yes, I have, but I do have mentors that I do aspire to definitely connect with, and I have those local ones that I can connect with every day, like C. Will, or Leah the Life Coach, or Danielle K. Anderson. These are people that I need in my circle, because I'm on this journey with whoever. I'm on this journey together. We're on this journey together.
Hey, I have this up so I can see it. Keep it simple. Focus on the message. Live the message.
Yeah.
So, if we're talking about we're life coaches and we think it's good, I think it's obvious that if we're saying, no, we don't need a life coach, there's a disconnect there. And so it's not necessarily like I don't pay for a life coach right now, but the concept of having someone with you who's, for lack of a better word, the way I see myself is a loving supporter, right? Someone who, it could be your spouse, it could be someone in your life, but someone who's there, like SJ said, on the journey with you, and helping you see the best in yourself. Ultimately, I believe that's what life coaches do, and helping you bring that into reality. Yeah, definitely part of my life.
Yeah.
Killers need healing.
Right.
Absolutely. Killers need the most healing.
Yes.
There's a lot of wounded healers out there, so we need the most healing.
That actually brings me to
a load on us that we have to let some of that out. We got to let some of that go.
You guys are great at segues, because that was the next thing I was going to get to. I'm going to start with you, Ava Laura. Ava Laura, do you constantly hear people's, you know, wants, desires, what's going on in their world, the good, the bad, the ugly? How do you yourself do self-healing where that stuff doesn't get you down? Because I get the weight of what's going on with so many different people. How does that affect you at times, and how do you keep it from affecting you?
So I can give you two answers to that. There's the training message where, you know, there's certain skills and techniques that you learn as a healer, as a coach, right, that you do on a daily basis to keep things from, you know, not being bottled up and not bothering you. You know, I'm a firm believer in self-care. I teach about self-care. I talk about self-care. I train about self-care. You know, so there's those constant things in our training that we do. But the other part of it, too, is, you know, honestly, I really, truly believe that when something is your purpose, you know, you're built for that. So I have a higher tolerance for, you know, listening to people and talking to people than somebody else will. You know, so somebody who may be more introverted, who's just like, I can't stand talking to people. Hey, Laura, I don't know how you do that. Well, I'm looking at them. I don't know how you sit behind a computer all day. I can't do that. You know, so it's, I literally have like a built-in tolerance for it, because it's just who I am. It's always been who I am. And so my job is to honor that, but then also take care of myself in the process and know my limitations, establish healthy boundaries. Boundaries is key. You know, I will tell anybody, I've gotten really good at not just saying no, but knowing what I can do and knowing what I don't want to do and not taking that on. So, you know, really having boundaries, you know, not stacking clients, giving myself time in between sessions, you know, making sure that I practice what I preach, that I do meditate, you know, that I do some form of self-care each and every single day. That is essential. And so, if we do those things, we're good. In addition to, like we said, also having our own support. You know, I say it takes a village to raise a dream. I literally have a team of people holding me down. This Ablore that you see here is not just me. There's a whole invisible team behind me that's running this show. So that is how I really take care of myself and not get burdened down and not take on other people's problems, is I really do a good job of making sure that I'm practicing what I preach and having a team of people support me.
And, you know, I wonder, are you guys like on call? Like I imagine somebody may need a life coach in weird times. Do you guys like ever get like you're with your significant other and then one of your clients call you and then you got to kind of step out of the restaurant and deal with them or something like that? Or is it only appointment only? How does that work out?
It goes down. I have to do what I can do. My king is understanding sometimes, and sometimes he's not having it. But, you know, I have to do what's in the best interest of my home as well as for my clients. So sometimes I may have to tell my king, hey, give me a minute. Or sometimes I may have to tell my client, hey, is this an emergency? If not, give me an hour, give me 2 hours, or whatever time it is. Because you do have to set some type of boundary sometimes. Because sometimes your clients would think that they own. I'm telling you, they'll be like, look, I need you now. And then you go, okay, I'm listening. Do you know what mouthwash you wear? You know, I'm like, hey, you know, we're just eating a good dinner. And you stop me from eating my dinner to ask me about your outfit while I'm paying you. I know, Kurt. You need to use your time wisely. Then I teach you time management and you how to use your time. And that rule number one. So sometimes, you know, sometimes you have to let them know. Sometimes you have to, you can be there for them as much as you can, but sometimes you do have to let them know, hey, I have to do some time with my family, or give me a few seconds, give me a few minutes, or whatever. You can be nice about it, but clients will pretty much know, because if they get to be too much, I'll let them know real quick. They'll be like, okay, all right, doctor, all right, you know, that's what you have to do.
I think boundaries is key. I think ultimately, at least what I'm trying to do is help the person become a strong, independent power unto themselves. So I'm not trying to nurture a codependent relationship, you know, and it's the same thing. I treat everyone the same, like clients, family, friends, everybody. Sometimes I see people, even in my family, they're going through a tough time, and I know I'm saying, you know, unless they reach out with a real need, I know they can handle it. And sometimes I won't even respond when they feel like they have a real need, you know, because I know that if they dig a little deeper, the answer is just right there. Just dig a little deeper. And I think it's being wise or being like a parent. If you're looking at your child, you see him trying to climb a wall and he's crying for you to help him. But you know, if he just jumps a little harder, he can get to the top. I think that's the best thing to do for the person. So, you know, like Abler and everyone else say, you got to take care of yourself. And also, I believe help the client grow. By making them, work within the boundaries that you set.
You know, I wonder too, you guys, significant others, do you guys kind of life coach your significant others? You know, you know, do you use the life coach week and all of that stuff?
Well,
people that you're with?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, sometimes my friends are prevalent. They'll be like, okay, I want Leah, not Leah the life coach. I just want you to listen. Don't solve it.
I got married August 18th, so...
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
To actually coach... you know, my wife is you know, and we don't, I don't need to basically do that because of the simple fact that I kind of want to, she's my best friend, so it's more of like, we're on the same keel as far as feeling each other and learning about how to take care of each other, and she kind of like, is on the same kind of vibration or frequency as me, and every now and then we feed each other, so I don't necessarily have to like, be a coach SJ, where it wouldn't work anyway. So, I would definitely just, we basically don't really, you know, I don't necessarily need to do that with her, per se.
Oh, okay, you don't bring up the whiteboard and be like,
I'm on the couch.
Oh, man, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
Hey, KP, let me jump in real quick. I just wanted to say, most people just need love and support. And that doesn't mean, like SJ said, they don't need you to tell them what to do or boss their life around. They just need someone to listen to you, to listen to, you know. And so I believe, you know, in my personal relationships, I do make an effort not to coach, you know, except when they want it, you know, because you can tell when they ask you, okay, what do you think, what's your kind of guidance on this issue, you know, then you can go ahead and give it. But a lot of times you would just listen and maybe ask one or two prompting questions that allow them to come to their own conclusion. And that does it. So in other words, I kind of do it on the slide, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not like really direct with, hey, I'm coaching you right now.
Would you say, like, let's say like a couple, right? He has a life coach and she has a life coach. Would you suggest couples have different ones, or could the same one serve both?
Different ones.
That's a good question.
I think if they're a couple, then I think there's relationship coaches. I think it's very like a marriage. There's different coaches for different situations. So I would, you could get a relationship coach or a marriage counselor or someone that deals in relationships. So you know, it's not, unless they're comfortable with having two, then you know it's good to just have that one that can be able to, you know, help you guys together if you guys are, you know, planning on going the next step.
So for my clients, can I just step in for a minute? For my clients who might be having marital issues or things like that, they'll both work with me, but what I always suggest is that they have their own individual sessions as well. So that's what's key. They have individual sessions, and then we also have sessions where they can come together.
Mm-hmm. It depends on the clients. Because sometimes they may want you to step in on a situation, you know, and sometimes they may want their own. But I normally work with both of them, but sometimes if they want to work with someone else, that's fine with me. Now, let me tell you something on a life coaching with your family. My daughter has that dad. She's horrible. She'll get her friends on a phone. I'm like, that's not my client. I'm like, you got some money? Get off my phone. I'm like, you got some money? That's how I
of life. So, you know, at the day, If a young guy, he's trying to get some dating advice, is that something that you would cover as well?
Yeah.
Go to SJP.
Yeah, definitely. If he's looking to date, you know, especially a lot of, like, I've had people who tell me, you know, how do I know is this person, how do I find the right person in my life? And, you know, like C. Will Spy says, keep it simple, right? So, as I learned about myself, and, you know, I wanted to date, so obviously, you know, I'm using my experience as well, but, and what works for me, you know, what result I got for myself. And so, when somebody tells me, you know, I wanna find somebody, how do I find that right person? And I tell them, okay, what are you looking for in a woman? And they say, well, I want some, you know, a woman to be kind, nice, you know, I want them to have, you know, a good credit score, whatever they're gonna say, right? So then I tell them, okay, so those qualities that you want in a woman, are those qualities in yourself? Because you only attract who you are, right? So if you want that type of woman, then if you don't have those qualities, you're not going to attract women with them. You know, it's different. I can do it for relationships, you know, for holistically. I can do it for the all areas of your life. Coaching is just not one way. Coaching is a holistic, it's taking apart everything in your life. Financial, you know, relationships, career, business, you know, it's every aspect of a person's life that you can be able to help coach. And you can keep it simple. It doesn't have to be difficult or complicated. It's about what works and using what works as opposed to what doesn't work.
Okay. So, Ava Laura, can you help your client bring it home? I met this girl the other night at the party. She's awesome, but I always screw it up. So, Ava Laura, what can I do not to screw it up? Do you have people with it?
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, I mean, one of the things about being a life coach is that you have to be able to help people in all aspects of their life. And, you know, usually what happens is, I mean, you start to see that there's a common thread in everything. And so everything is not so different. So if I have a client who, you know, relationship stuff comes up a lot, because most of my clients right now are professional Black women, and I would say about 60% of them came after a major breakup. It was some sort of major transition, and a breakup is what caused them to say, you know what, I need help. You know, I need healing, I need help. I didn't realize that, you know, I knew that there were things that were wrong with me, but I didn't realize it was so bad until I had this major breakup and I had a really difficult time dealing with it. So relationships, those heart issues are key. So I end up doing a lot of coaching, a lot of Reiki, a lot of energy healing. So sometimes it's not just talking, but it's really working on an energy level as well, for things like that. Because you're dealing with the heart. You know, you're dealing with a lot of things that people hold on to, that they never really release, and it's stored in our body, creating energy, creating this disease, creating dysfunction. And so, you know, how can you properly deal with something if you got all of this going on in your body and you don't even know what's going on? So yeah, absolutely, I help with that. And really, you know, on an energetic level, but also then helping people too to look at what are the things that they're holding on to, what are their beliefs, what are they thinking? Because we don't realize how powerful our thinking is and how, you know, the law of attraction is real. A lot of what you think is what you manifest, whether you realize you're thinking it or not. And so a lot of times what happens is people are not even aware of their thoughts. You might know some things about yourself, but there's all these core negative beliefs that you have that you don't even realize it, and it's influencing what's happening in the rest of your life. So a lot of the work that we do too is around what are you thinking, because what you think is causing what you attract, and what you attract is causing how you deal with the situation, and so on and so forth. It becomes this domino effect.
Yeah, I gotta ask a personal question, Ava Laura. If someone's your client, see if they need to hit right
now. No.
Shannon, you have anything? You need a life coach?
Do I need a life coach? Sure, why not? I mean, therapy is life.
Mm-hmm. What aspect of life did you think you would benefit from having a life coach, Shannon, after hearing the show tonight?
I don't know. Navigating my current life in the Florida Keys. All of it, I guess.
What, career, relationships, what?
I said all of it.
All of it.
All of the above.
All of it. Funny with that, all of it. Alright, so let's do this. I want to thank the panel so much. You guys were amazing. It was a terrific show. We're going to start off with the ladies, of course. We'll start off with you, Amira. How can people get you on social media? And I know you have a show, and you have a website, and you have a lot of things. So how can people get you on? Probably you're on mute, too.
Okay, let me try to make it quick then. www.ask314life.com. ask314life@gmail.com. And they can also reach me on Facebook. It's Dr. Amira Sankofa Kwame. And that's pretty much my tag for everything. Ask Life Doctor or Doctor. Amira Sankofa Kwame. They can pretty much find me on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, and even on Google is my email address, and they can go to my website. I do different type of shows. Sometimes I might do something, y'all may do something that it just depends. My appointment load has added so much, so let's get it on board. They can reach me at 502-208-9142. I also have a physical place on 1921 West Broadway, Suite 4, Wilmington, 40203.
So definitely hear something that initially I was going to call the show Ask a Life Coach, and then I realized as I was looking at your Twitter account, I think that's where I got it. So I was like subconsciously stealing from you. So I won't get sued by Mira. I changed the title to just Life Coaching. But subconsciously, I was jacking your name. But thank you so much for your work.
Well, I appreciate everybody. Love y'all.
Aw, love you too.
Now, Emma Laura, how can people get you on social media? Podcasting, as well as you've recently had an event too. Tell us about the event.
Oh God, I've had so many things. So my head wraps crown by Emma Laura. I had a fashion show I just did, what we call it, a crown jewel event, which was teaching women how to wrap their hair, also creating waist beads, all about a beauty, adornment, and sisterhood. So I just had that event. It was amazing. And I also have a retreat coming up actually next year, October 28th through November 3rd. Next year, it is for Black women in leadership. We are going to Spain for a week. So it's all about unplugging, unwinding, serenity, cultivating peace, and, I mean, just having fun, you know, just having a ball. So that is coming up as well. So I always have a lot of things going on. I make it very easy to contact me. All you do is look me up, Ava Laura. I am Googleicious. I am the only Ava Laura, so you don't even have to worry about it being anybody else. You literally type in A-V-A-L-A-U-R-A. I will pop up. My website is my hub, www.avalaura.com. That gives you my email address. It gives you all my social media. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Google. I'm on everything. So my podcast is on there. I do have a podcast as well, Ava Laura Heal My Life. That's on iTunes. It's on Spotify, Google Play, iHeart, everything. But again, if you just type in my name, Ava Laura, all that stuff will pop up.
Well, me and C. Will, we're going to be chaperones on this main trip.
So now you need to protect this boundary, you know.
You can't go. Social media, and you have an event coming up as well.
My handle is Leah the Life Coach, And I have an event called Laugh at My Calibration. It's a monthly comedy show that I do that aids the homeless community. You can search Laugh at My Calibration and see what we've done in the past. We work with a organization called My Friend's House LA. We do it at the Universal Bar and Grill and Tiger Lab Productions, and we do it every month. And I'm having a lot of fun doing that. So I really appreciate any support that comes from that. And my email is leahthelifecoach@gmail.com. My website is leahthelifecoach.com. And I look forward to calibrating with you guys.
All right. And you know what? I think I can make that one. Because
what?
I was doing the documentary, so I couldn't make the last one. But yeah.
It's November 11th at Universal Bar and Grill. And also December 5th at Universal Bar and Grill. And it's a toy drive, because we've noticed that out aiding the homeless community, that there's been an influx of children out there. So we want to take the children out of that moment in time and let them have a smile and just take them away from that moment for a while.
All right.
Can I just say one last thing, because you had like a lot of great questions?
Sure, go ahead.
My one last thing is, why do you need a life coach? I'm a firm believer that we have an internal GPS that kind of gravitates everything that we need to us, and that everybody around you has lessons and blessings for you guys. So take the time to learn what somebody else has to teach you. Learn what you don't know. Know that there are walks of life that you can get a different perspective on, and perspective is everything. It's key to everything that you're doing. And take those lessons and blessings. And a red flag for a coach is a template coaching. Somebody that just wants to put you into how they know how to coach and just put you into those blank spots and expect you to act and move through that and be successful through what they've done. And they're not willing to create something and build something with you, a foundation that's good for you and that supports you. So make sure that your life coach is seeing who you are and calibrating that person and what you need in that moment.
Definitely.